Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Tuesday, June 6, 2023, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. And today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're at page 84, the second paragraph, beginning with the eighth line of that paragraph, where it starts, continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear, ending with love and tolerance of others is our code. Reading and commenting on those five sentences only today. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Joanne L., 12 Traditions, Mary P., readers of the text, Betsy H., Jordan L., and Sherry Z. The reference number for Monday, June 5th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 20,323. That's 20323. And for this morning, June 6th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 20,325. That's 20325. Robin P. will do the announcements this morning. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Joanne L. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning, Dawn. Thank you very much for your service, and good morning, everybody on the line. It's Joanne L. from Rhode Island and recovered in Rhode Island. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us in the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Joanne L., for reading those 12 steps. I will now ask Mary P. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning. This is Mary P. in Austin, Texas, and these are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me be of service, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Mary P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share in what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 84, the second paragraph, beginning with the 8th line of the paragraph. Continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. Ending, love and tolerance of others is our code. Reading and commenting on those 5 sentences only today. I will now ask Betsy H. to begin reading.
Good morning, Dawn. This is Betsy H., recovered compulsive reader in California. Continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. When these crop up, we ask God at once to remove them. We discuss them with someone immediately and make amends quickly if we have harmed anyone. Then we resolutely turn our thoughts to someone we can help. Love and tolerance of others is our code. This is a great paragraph here and some great lines. It really takes me through the process of doing a 10-step in a simple way. And one could even just read through this paragraph and pause after some of the sentences here and then use that as you to guide you through the 10-step. For example, continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. That's where I find my part of the street. And it's something that can be done quickly, and this 10th step is such a lifesaver because it really makes a difference between recovery and disease to me. Because if I've found over so many years that it's easy for stuff to build up inside me, like emotions, even without being too aware of it, what I'll become aware of is I'll start having food thoughts. And so this 10-step is a lifesaver. it cleans out and clears out everything that is blocking me from having a good cell signal with my higher power, you know, as an example. You know, I need, it gives, if I'm having a bad reception with my higher power, I'm very, I'm in danger of having those, that insane thought of going and back and compulsively overeating. I'm in danger. I need a good cell phone signal with my higher power. And this is what does it, doing the 12 steps, and specifically the step 10 here. And it says when these crop up. It doesn't say if. So it's very human to have character defects cropping up and to make mistakes. And this is where we can set it right and get back on track. And then, because we already, by step 10, we already do have a connection with a higher power. So we can, we ask a higher power to remove our part. And then we discuss with someone, you know, when we can, as soon as possible. It may not be till the end of the workday, you know, or it may be right then. And then we make amends quickly, right away, so we don't have to be catapulted back into the hell of compulsive overeating. And the most important part, too, well, it's all important, but is then turning my attention to someone I can help afterwards. That really gets me out of my self-pity, gets me out of the problem into the solution. And it could be as simple as just calling another OA person and seeing how they're doing. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you so much, Betsy H., for getting us started. I'm now going to take the names of people who would like to share on these five sentences. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Joanne L.
M.
Joanne L. And was that Ann M?
Yes.
Okay, Ann M. Joanne L. Who else would like to share?
Zach A. from Utah.
Zach A.
Kathleen O.
Kathleen
Sharon
O.
Sharon E.
And Sharon E.
Deb E.
And Deb E. And let's go ahead and stop there. I have Joanne L., Ann M., Zach A., Kathleen E., Sharon E., and Deb E. Joanne L., please share with us.
Hi, everybody. Good morning again. This is Joanne L. From Rhode Island. I love this paragraph, but I love this step. Because this is step 10. It's continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Promptly. It doesn't say maybe, you know, admit it, or, you know, just, you know, you can just, you know, pretend that it's not happening. It says promptly. We have to do it right now. And, you know, it's funny. I mean, we're all human. And if you notice that on this page right here, I'm so sorry. You can hear these ambulances going by my home. I'm sorry. On this first paragraph that we just read, the word continue is four times. Continue, 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 continue. Usually when something is repeated and or something is italicized, that means we have to pay attention to it. And so it means continue. We're not going to get a diploma, you know, after doing the first nine steps. We're not going to get a diploma after the 12th step. We need to continue to do this work. It doesn't end. It never ends. But we are human, and some things do crop up. And I'm just going to give you a little example what can happen to me if I get on the phone, maybe with a company, and I have a customer service rep, and, you know, or I have to push all these buttons before I even get there. Well, that can stop me. That can stop me off. And then when I get the customer service rep, oh, my goodness, I might take it out on that customer service rep. You have no idea how many times, well, I don't want to do it a lot, that's for sure, but I have called back the company, and I have, you know, I always take the person's name, and I have had to make amends. You know, I've had to ask supervisors, please get this message to that, you know, customer service rep. You know, it wasn't their fault, whatever. You know, I'm just giving you a little example because things can come up. But, you know, we're living in the spirit world. This is what it says here. We have entered the world of the spirit. Our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. And this is not an overnight matter. So, you know, as we go along, we now have a relationship with God. I hope to think that I don't have to do a 10-step, you know, a 2, 3, or even every day, because then it's kind of telling me if I have to keep on doing a 10-step, perhaps that I'm not, you know, maybe I don't have that connection with God. Because if I have the connection with God, then you know what, I don't want to act that way. I don't want to have the resentment. I don't want to be selfish. Mm-hmm. And you know, so just giving it away, if something crops up, which it can, call somebody, you know, pray, but get it out. Get it out in the open, because it's just like carrying in a resentment. And love and tolerance of others is our code, and I do love that. You know, I pray about this every single morning. Please, dear God, let me be kind. Yeah, thank you very much, Doug. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you so much, Joanne L. Anne M., please share with us, followed by Zach A.
Hi, everyone. I'm Anne M. from Washington State, and so happy to be able to share today. This paragraph in particular, I have so many underlines and little notes from even 2010. And I'm so grateful for a wonderful semi-sponsor. He was in the program for, I don't know, 40 years or whatever, and he would quote this a lot. And I have some of the things that he had said is so important. And when I am he would use this acronym of Seek Defects Rid Forever, SDRF. So that's selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. And how he listed this was to go through the principles of AA, of OA. And they are, you know, starting with honesty. And so to do step 10, I have to be honest, and not just about the cleaned up the past, as in that first, second sentence of the paragraph, but the immediate past. And I tend to not want to do that because that might mean I have to make an amends to someone. And to be really honest, I need to talk with my sponsor sometimes, write about it, pray about it, and then talk with my sponsor. So that's helpful. But then these things will come up. These defects and or characteristics that don't serve me well. And again and again and again, the more aware I become, that's one of the greatest gifts of this program for so many years, is just being aware and also setting boundaries to everything in my life so that I don't go back into the disease thinking. I really do love and the reminder of being loving, tolerant, and, well, kind goes in there too because it's a subcategory. But when I do have that in my life, then I remember, and I'm thankful for being reminded by the big book and the steps, because the steps are the answer. Everything is in this book for me about the answer to my disease thinking. So that's it for today. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Ann M. Zach A., please share with us, followed by Kathleen O.
Hi, I'm Zach A. from Utah, a grateful recovering compulsive overeater. And my self-centered life is unmanageable. So I'm so grateful for this paragraph that teaches me the character of my higher power. My higher power is energy and the presence that wants the benefit and the well-being of everyone, and is all-powerful, knows everything, but myself knows nothing. I think I'm dishonest because I think I know what's best for my life, but I don't actually. So this paragraph is telling me to watch for these things when they crop up, just to become aware of them, just to become conscious of them. And then when they crop up, I have to trust my step two tells me that I have a loving higher power. I have to trust that that energy, that power can is big enough to remove whatever is blocking me. And it's, am I asking it for it to be removed so that I can be more comfortable, so that my life can be the way I want it? No, because in the third step prayer, it says we ask for these things to be removed. Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help. So this is not about Zach. This is about removing the things that are blocking Zach from God. And why? Not so that Zach can be more comfortable, but so that Zach can be more of service. Same thing with the step seven prayer. Why am I asking God to remove these things? Because they're blocking me from being of service to other people, which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. So I really love this. And I also thought of the acronym WATCH. Watch, ask, trust God, connect or call, make a call, discuss it with someone. And then H is for help. And the other acronym that someone told me was words, actions, thoughts, choices, habits. So if I'm watching and becoming conscious of myself and how my life is, my self-will run riot life is ruining me and hurting other people, then I trust that there's a loving power that can remove these things from me. And if something is not removed, maybe it's not necessary to be removed right away. Maybe I can still go out and be helpful. Sometimes I get in self-pity and I say, God, why aren't you removing all these defects? I asked you to remove this. Come on. And it's not on my timeline. I just got to keep showing up, keep being a human being. I'm very imperfect, but I love to be here and I love all of you. And thank you for letting me share our paths.
Thank you so much, Zach A. from Utah. Kathleen O., please share with us, followed by Sharon E.
Good morning. This is Kathleen O., recovered in Northern California. I actually really like these first two sentences. Sorry, I'm out of breath walking my dog. Continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. When they crop up, we ask God at once to remove them. So for me, resentment and fear, I would say crop up pretty much daily. I don't know how they wouldn't, unless I was not human. And when they, so this is second, the second sentence is interesting because there's some debate about it. When these crop up, not that part. When these crop up, we ask God to remove them. There's no debate there. But this one, we discuss them with someone immediately and make amends quickly if we have harmed anyone. So I read that as if I harm someone in going through these resentments and fear, then yes, I need to call someone immediately, make amends immediately. But if I have not harmed someone, I am not, this is just how I interpret these lines. I would be calling someone all the time, every day, 365 days a week, if when they cropped up, I was going to call and do a 10-step on it. So I do it very quickly in my head. And an example is, I have someone working on my home. And when he left, I noticed all these issues. It's like, why didn't he point these out? So I immediately went into resentment. I immediately, you know, why isn't he showing these to me? Why is he doing the work this way? And then fear. Oh my gosh, I'm going to be throwing my money away. This isn't being done correctly. And so I really have gotten in the habit. I don't hang out there too long. At once I said, okay, God, I'm being selfish. I want this done perfectly my way. And you know, I have this fear. And I said, please remove the resentment. Please remove the fear. I trust and rely on you that you're going to show me how to deal with this and it's going to be taken care of. And then I always tell myself at the end, let it go, Kathleen. And I would say 95% of the time, I let it go. And if it comes up again, I'll repeat that same thing again. But I'm not holding on to it all day. Now, if I've harmed someone or I can't get rid of the resentment, then yes, I will write it out. I'll call someone. I'll discuss it. Anyway, the end of the story is contractor came back. I very kindly said, I'm very concerned about these two things. And he went, okay, I can fix that. So no reason to stay in those kind of emotions because normally they're fine in the end. Love and kindness is our code. Thank you, Dawn. Pass.
Thank you so much, Kathleen O. from California. Sharon E., please share with us, followed by Deb E. And in case you're just joining us, we are on page 84, the second paragraph, beginning with the eighth line from the top of the paragraph there, where it says, continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear, ending with love and tolerance of others is our code. So we're reading and commenting on those five sentences only today. So Sharon E., please share with us, followed by Deb E., and then I'll be taking some more names.
All righty. Thank you. This is Sharon E., gratefully recovered in Ohio. Thankful for all of you all doing service here. So I'll kind of write this down because I have a tendency to forget what I was going to say if I don't. So if it sounds a little red, it is. So last night at our meeting, I go to our home meeting, I asked questions. And I got answers, and it was on sixth step. I know I'll get to the one we're on. And because it refers to it, because I was dealing with willingness. So the selfishness, the resentment, and the fear, kind of understandable to me, right? The dishonesty is definitely the hard one for me because I'm usually dishonest with myself first, obviously. Then I get defensive because I don't know I'm being dishonest with myself. Then I have to go back to step six, apparently. See, this is something I learned last night, so I'm just telling you what I learned. And then I have to be willing. And then I have to look at, are other people being hurtful? Possibly. Then I need to allow them to be and just go on my way, having love and tolerance for them. And if it's real, then I need to do some work, right? Because it's a character defect. So if I don't do this, then I stay resentful. And then I become fearful and selfish, and then I become dishonest with myself. So it's a big cycle that I can go into, and the love and tolerance of others who may be accusing me is something that I need to work on. So not for myself, for those who may be hurting me. So I thank my home meeting for being willing to help me last night with my question, and you all with your wisdom and their wisdom and for helping me grow. And I thank you for everything, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Sharon E. Deb E., please share with us.
Sorry, hi, it's Deb. He recovered compulsive over eater in Israel. I missed as it was muting. I've got the last few meetings I've been to, I've been so absorbed in other people's shares, I like almost forget it's my turn. So, I like the part to continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. It just reminds me that this is continued work. Like, I just, you know, it's never going to end. I continue to do this every day. I continue to work these steps every day. I continue to have a connection with my higher power every day. It's just what I need to do to keep what I have. And I just want to tie that into, then we resolutely turn our thoughts to someone we can help. And it's interesting, when I read this before, I took the word quickly from the sentence before and put it into this, and was thinking we quickly turn our thoughts to someone we can help. In my mind, I just like inserted that into that sentence, and I was thinking how I'm in such a safer place if I'm helping someone else and being of service. It's when I'm not being of service that selfishness, dishonesty, resentment creep up. But being in service, like, it's a little bit of a safeguard, I find, for me, from that stuff, and fear, of course, as well. And I really like the part of step 10 where we just, you know, we admit we were wrong right away. I grew up with, and I think a lot of it was like a generational thing. Like, I wasn't, there was too much pride to like apologize, especially an adult to apologize to a child. Like, that didn't help. And I've made a really conscious effort to apologize to my children when I do something wrong as soon as I can. And I like to, I don't know what they'll think of it when they're adults, but for me, it's really important to model that, because I feel like it just, I grew up with this idea of perfectionism, and I think part of it came from looking at the adults around me and thinking like, well, they don't make any mistakes, you know. And if, you know, they're not apologizing for anything, they must not have done something wrong, right? Like the way that children can interpret the world and interpret things. And so I really like apologizing and righting my wrongs, especially with my children, because I want to teach them that we're all just human beings. And just because I'm older and have more life experience, it doesn't make me better than them. And that lack of hierarchy, I feel like I learned a lot in program and through the steps, because we don't have that hierarchy. Like, our only, you know,
time.
We only have our higher powers that are above us. Thank you. I'll pass with that.
Thank you so much, Deb E. from Israel. I'm now going to take the names of people who would like to share on these five sentences. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Sylvia F.
Sylvia F.
F.
Chrissy M.
Mo H. Liz A.
Sherry
Z. And who is that other name?
Chanel T.
And we'll stop there. Okay, very good. Sylvia S., please share with us, followed by Chrissy M.
Hello, my fellows. This is Sylvia F., and I'm recovered compulsive overeater in Portland, Oregon. So when I first started working the program vigorously out of the big book, I found that that I needed to work this step exactly as prescribed as many times a day as I needed to. So I would, the way it would happen for me, and I'm especially speaking to the newcomer, so is to figure out how do you know when to do it or why to do it. So I would feel that, you know, that it's an agitation or something, or I would be having a conversation with someone who wasn't in the room. I would be off, and I started to pay attention to that, because before program, that was just normal. That's just how I felt and how I thought. So when I started to notice, it's very prescriptive. It tells you four things to do, and it lists out. And what I did is I actually, you know, it's like basically stop, pause, and react. I mean, don't react. And I don't have it in front of me to look it up. I intended to, but it's four key places, and it's definitely to give it up to another person, give it up to God, to another person. And then the last thing is to turn our attention towards someone else we could help. And I learned that it didn't have to be someone in program. It could have been, for me, literally turning my head and paying attention to the person who was in the room talking to me, just getting out of my head. One time I called my sponsor, and I was doing a 10th step, and I didn't have an opportunity to help someone. And she said, go out to the parking lot and start to help someone unload their groceries or take a cart back after they've unloaded their groceries, but do something for someone else. Get out of my head. So I called, I swear, probably six times a day I would be making 10 steps. eventually it got me into the practice so that I could recognize it, give it up to God, and get loose of that resentment and be present and of service for other people. If I'm present and of service to other people, I'm not in my head. I'm not in my addiction. So all of this, you know, what does it have to do with food? I always want to ask that question because that's why we all came in. You know, we have some issue with food. All of this stuff that made me agitated, I wanted to go to ease and comfort, to eat something. When I do this 10th step, I do get my ease and comfort, and I don't need to go for food. It's just a quieter way of living, a quieter way of being in my mind. And that is for me, thank you. And that for me is recovery. The 10th step for me has been an essential piece of my work. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Sylvia S. Chrissy M., please share with us, followed by Mo H.
Good morning. This is Christy M., grateful, recovering, bulimic, anorexic from Oregon. And just thank you for all who've done service. And, you know, we talk in the program that, you know, our recovery is a 24-hour reprieve. You know, I come to the meeting today and that doesn't bank me up for the rest of the, you know, this meeting, my recovery work. It's part of me turning my life over today. And it's just for today. And then it starts over again. And I think of kind of the 10th step, kind of like your house. If you don't do the dishes every night, right, they can start to pile up in the sink. And it's easy when life gets busy. For me, this is kind of my practice and things that I'm working on and part of my character defects is when life gets busy, sometimes my 10th step can be the easy thing to not get done that day. And it's kind of like the dishes. It's like when I don't like turn my fears over to my higher power at night, go through my resentments and take care of my inventory daily, like the dishes start to pile up in the sink. And before I know it, it's like I don't have any dishes to eat on and it's a mess and it's all kind of piled up. And then I find when I let myself kind of slide into that headspace, because my default is that headspace of fear and resentment and that kind of chaotic thinking. It's my default. It's more normal if I'm not doing my program. It takes more work to get out of it than it does to make sure I don't go in it in the first place. And that daily practice of the 10th step is what keeps me in that place of serenity. It keeps me in that place of peace. And it seems like this simple thing, this just time you spend with your higher power and just cleaning house a little bit, like doing your emotional and spiritual dishes at night and cleaning up. And I find when I don't do it, it piles up really quick and I can really get in that chaotic headspace. And once I'm there, it can take me a little bit to get out. So, you know, my 10 step inventory is just that, doing my dishes every night. And I find sometimes I write down my fears and resentments at the end of the day and my gratitude and make sure I turn those over and put them in my God box. Sometimes, you know, I'll get down on my knees and I'll just pray those things out loud and turn them over to my higher power. But I do find if I'm not creating that intentional time and space that really quickly I can get into that negative and chaotic headspace and lose that place of serenity. So a good reminder of that importance of that 10th step and doing that house cleaning on a daily basis. So thank you. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Chrissy M. from Oregon. Mo H., please share with us, followed by Liz A.
Hey, good morning, Dawn and everyone on the phone. This is Mo H., recovered compulsive eater sugar addict in Walnut Creek, California. Oh, this is my favorite step. I talk about it all the time. I was in the rooms. I came in 1989, and it wasn't until 2015 that someone was taking me through the big book line by line. And when we got to the 10th step, she had a form, and we were working through the form, and I said to her, where did you get this from? And she said, right there on page 84, and there it is. It's all right here. In this little paragraph. And, you know, I like all the shares that I've heard, the one on, you know, continue. Yes, we do continue. And it says here, this is a little bit above, it says, this is not an overnight matter. So this is something that is done on a daily basis. And the way it was explained to me is the 10th step is done throughout the day, and my evening 11th step is done at night. It kind of cleans up the rest of what I left out. And also, the trick to this for me, okay, so we have the four character defects of being selfish, dishonest, resentful, and fearful. And I can go through these very quickly with, you know, being selfish, you know, I want things my way. Yes, I've had a contractor here also, as I heard somebody else, and I didn't like a few things. And, you know, I had to do a 10 step on it. Dishonest is not telling the truth or omitting the truth or not trusting God or not accepting the person as they are. And then resentful is what it says. I say the sick man's prayer. And then fear. The fear of not getting what I want, the fear of losing what I have, or the fear of being found out. But the trick for me was turning myself to help somebody else, doing a step 12. And it says, then we resolutely turn our thoughts to someone we can help. And I don't talk about my issue with the contractor or my issue with somebody cutting across in front of me, you know, three lanes to get off the freeway, you know, and my resentments come up, you know, my agitation can be triggered very, very easily. And then we live in this love and tolerance of others is our code. That's how I live a sane and healthy emotional life. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Mo H. from California. Liz A., please share with us, followed by Sherry Z.
Good morning, Liz A. from Southern California. Thank you for your service. I was told early on that step 10 is like reworking steps 4 through 9 every day. You know, continue to watch for resentment, fear, dishonesty, selfishness. You know, that's step 4. Telling someone about it is step 5. Asking God to remove it is 6 and 7. Making amends is 8 and 9. But it's an encapsulated form. So, you know, we don't have to sit there with pen and pencil and write a whole story. You know, we just do it quickly. And that keeps us in the steps that are our healing. And for me, early on, and sometimes still, it's difficult to be aware of what's going on because I'm so used to the chatter in my head. And, you know, the buildup of human emotions, what is that? What comes before an emotion is a thought. So it's my negative thinking. You know, it's my insanity. And so it was hard for me to be aware. And what I did is I set a reminder on my phone every 2 hours, you know, am I restless, irritable, and discontent, you know, and boy, that happened a lot. So then I would then at that point do the 10th step. And I had a hard time thinking about turning then to someone I could help. I didn't think I could help someone. I was so new. And then I was told that it could just be anyone in the program. You don't know how your call can just be exactly what someone else needs. And it gets us out of ourselves. It stops me from thinking about me, you know, my problems, my resentments. And it's a gift. It's a total gift. It's like someone gave us the key to life. This step is the key to my life. And I do my best every day. And like others have said, whatever I've missed, I catch at night in my 11th step. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Liz A. from California. Sherry Z., please share with us, followed by Chanel T.
Good morning, visionaries. This is Sherry Z. from Southern California. Thank you all for these beautiful shares, and thank you to everyone else doing service this morning. So for the newcomer, I was in these rooms for 30 plus years, and I would have periods of abstinence, but not food neutrality. And I couldn't figure out what was fundamentally wrong with me. And then I came to Vision and I worked these steps totally differently. And 9 shifted something in me. And then 10 allowed that shift to continue to happen. And what used to happen was that I would have the buildup of human emotions, and then I had to eat because it was my solution. I couldn't tolerate me, the anxious, nervous, whatever it was, I couldn't tolerate it. And so I would have to eat. But by doing 10 steps, and I could do them all day long. I don't know what, it's not that I have resentments all the time, but my mind is constantly going. And the difference with me prior to program was we discuss them with someone immediately and make amends quickly if we have harmed anyone. So I would make a harm and then I would immediately apologize, like totally internalize. I'm sorry. I miss the part where I discuss with someone, where I have a conversation and I look at my part and I actually vet that with someone else so that I can really come from a place of amends that are honest. And then I resolutely, which I don't always feel resolutely, but I try to turn our thoughts to someone we can help, because my thought was, oh, I'll just make an amends and I'll be done because that'll clear me up. But that was all about me. It wasn't about, hey, God, how can you and I get back in alignment? I can do what I was set here to do, which is my purpose, which is to be of service. And I can honestly say that I don't always want to resolutely turn my thoughts to someone else. I have a service profession, and sometimes I'm like, ugh, I've served enough. And that selfishness will always lead me back to a 10 step. So I'm just really grateful to be here, and thank you all for your shares.
Thank you so much, Sherry Z. And Chanel, we just have about a minute share, if you would like to take that, Chanel.
Great, thank you. I am Chanel, and I'm a grateful compulsive eater. This is what my sponsor had me do, because this is a program of action, not just thought. And she had me continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, fear, put number 1 there. 2, in front of when these crop up, we ask for God at once to remove them. 3, we discuss them with some immediately. And 4, make amends quickly if we have harmed anyone. If we have harmed anyone, have anything to do with discussing them with someone immediately. If you read it, it's at the end after make amends quickly. And then 5, then we resolutely turn our thoughts to someone we can help. It's not a writing exercise. It's an action exercise, because love and tolerance is our code, is the ideal. So if we stay in action, we make the calls quickly. If I make the call quickly to someone, get out of that business meeting and go make a call in the bathroom if I need to talk time. To someone. And apparently that's my time. Stay in action, everybody. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Chanel T. So appreciate your share and everyone's share today. I will now close the meeting with a reading from the Big Book. We're on page 64, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Jordan L. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, thanks, Dawn, for moderating. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.